Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Pastor Rich has another powerful sermon this morning, no pun intended. The title is A Journey to Pentecost, The Spirit's Power and Purpose. So, what he's going to explain, what he's going to preach about, is he's talking about how we cannot rely on our own strength. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit's power. But how do we get this Holy Spirit power? You know, he's going to talk about how the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. It's kind of like he's taken up dwelling inside, right? He's moving in. And, you know, Peter, ironically, but that's not where the sermon is going today. In Acts 2:38, Peter tells the people gathered there on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And he says, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the gift of the Holy Spirit is tied to what Peter is preaching about on the day of Pentecost. And then, you know, when we get into the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, that's another thing. And something that I was kind of guilty of when I was a new Christian was calling the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead, of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a he. Now, there's something interesting in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, and he says, you know, of men born of woman, like nobody is greater than John the Baptist. But then he goes ahead and says that the least in the kingdom of heaven is going to be greater than John the Baptist. And why is that? Well, John lived and died under the old covenant. We are under the new covenant, and that is where we see this indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit emerge. It is under this new covenant that Jesus ushered in through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, I'm sorry, getting off on a tangent here. Today's message is coming from John 16. I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. So, this is under the title, The Work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, in verse 5, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Verse 8, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And finally, in verse 11, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Amen. That is the reading of God's word. But Pastor Rich, just one more thought before I turn it over to you. That, you know, in verse 7, Jesus says, unless I go away, the counselor, right? Some translations have the comforter. And the Greek word for this comes from the word parakaleo, which is called alongside. So picture how the Spirit comes alongside us and advocates for us, and that's where we get this word counselor from. But anyway, we now have the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rich?
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my friends. Let me start by asking a question. Have you ever felt completely unprepared for something important? Maybe it was a job interview. Maybe a big presentation. Or maybe even a conversation you knew would be difficult. You knew what needed to be done, but deep down, you felt like you didn't have what it took to do it. I wonder if that's how the disciples felt in those days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost. They had walked with Jesus, they had learned from him, and they've even seen him risen from the dead. But now, he was gone. And the mission he had given them, be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. No pressure, right? How could they possibly accomplish that? Jesus had told them to wait, as we talked about last week, not to strategize, not to plan, not to get ahead of themselves, but to wait for the gift the Father had promised. Why? Because what they needed most wasn't a better plan or more resources or even more courage. What they needed was power, but not their own. The very presence of God was about to dwell within them, to guide them, empower them, and transform them. And here's the question we need to wrestle with today. Are we trying to live the Christian life in our own strength, or are we relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if the disciples couldn't fulfill their calling without him, why do we think we can? Let us look at John chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now imagine being one of the disciples standing there as Jesus tells you, it is for your good that I'm going away. How could that possibly be good? They had walked with Jesus. They had talked with him. They have eaten meals with him and seen him perform miracles with their own eyes. How could his leaving be better than his staying? But Jesus was pointing them to a deeper reality, one they couldn't yet fully grasp. His physical presence was limited to one place at a time. But through the Holy Spirit, his presence would dwell within every believer in every place at every moment. No longer would they have to wait for Jesus to arrive in a town or gather around him on a hillside. The Spirit would be with them always, guiding them, strengthening them, and speaking truth into their hearts. This wasn't a new idea. All throughout Scripture, God had promised his people that he would be with them. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, he says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, God foretells the coming of the Spirit. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. You see, this was always the plan. God dwelling not just among his people, but within them. And now Jesus was declaring that this promise was about to be fulfilled. And yet even now we struggle to embrace the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We long for something visible, something tangible, something like the disciples had when they walked with Jesus in the flesh. We say things like, if only I could have been there to see him, or if only I could hear his voice out loud. But Jesus himself tells us that we have something even better, the Holy Spirit living in us, leading us, comforting us, and empowering us. The question is, are we relying on him, or are we still trying to follow Jesus in our own strength? Think about that. Let me ask that again. Are we relying on him, or are we still trying to follow Jesus in our own strength? Now, the first part of today's message I want to focus on is the Spirit's power, boldness for the mission. Let us look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now let's go back to the question I asked at first. Have you ever felt completely unprepared for something important? Maybe you've hesitated to share your faith, to pray for someone in need, or to step out in obedience because you felt weak or unprepared. Imagine how the disciples felt. Jesus had just given them the most daunting mission imaginable, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And yet, his very next instruction was to wait. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Why? Why, right? Because they could not fulfill the mission on their own. The task was too great and their own strength was not enough. But Jesus promised them something greater. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Before they could go, they had to be filled. This power was the very presence of God equipping them for the work ahead. The word of Jesus used for power is dynamis, the same root word for dynamite. This was explosive, life-altering power, the kind that turned fishermen into preachers, doubters into evangelists, and a fearful man like Peter into the boldest voice of the early church. This was the power that allowed ordinary men and women to stand before rulers and authorities facing persecution and even death, yet refusing to back down. And it is the same power that is available to us today. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You see, my friends, the Spirit doesn't just give us comfort, he gives us courage. And yet, too often, we try to serve God in our own strength. We attempt to be good enough, knowledgeable enough, or persuasive enough on our own. But Jesus never intended for us to carry this mission in our own power. He told his disciples to wait because he knew they needed something more. The question is, are we waiting on the Spirit's power, or are we trying to do God's work in our own strength? Are we living with boldness, or are we still afraid? If we want to be witnesses for Christ, we need what the early church had. We need to be filled, empowered, and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. The second part of today's message to focus on is the Spirit's purpose, convicting and transforming our hearts. Let us look at John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Have you ever tried to change someone's mind about something important? Maybe you've had a conversation with a friend or family member about faith, and no matter how clearly you explained the gospel, they just didn't seem to get it. It can be frustrating, right? But Jesus reminds us that the work of conviction and transformation is not ours. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus says, "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." It is the Spirit who softens hearts, opens blind eyes, and leads people to repentance. Our role is to proclaim the truth, but only the Spirit can make it take root. You get that? Our role is to proclaim the truth, but only the Spirit can make it take root. The truth was on full display at Pentecost. Peter, the same man who had once been too afraid to admit he even knew Jesus, now stood boldly before a massive crowd and preached his first sermon. And the response? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They were cut to the heart. Not because Peter was an exceptional speaker, but because the Spirit was at work. That day, 3,000 people repented and were baptized, not by human persuasion, but by divine power. Do you understand that the same Spirit that convicted those 3,000 people is the same Spirit that moves today, stirring hearts and calling people into relationship with Christ? That means we don't have to carry the burden of changing people. We simply bear witness, and the Spirit does the rest. So what does this mean for us? It means we can share our faith without fear. We can speak the truth without worrying if we have the perfect words. We can pray for our lost loved ones, trusting that God is working even when we can't see it. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." Our job is faithfulness. God's job is transformation. When we trust the Spirit's power to convict and change hearts, we can share the gospel with confidence, knowing that he is always working behind the scenes. Daybreak Community Church, as we reflect on Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, we see that he's not only our helper and guide, but also our source of power and the one who brings transformation. The Spirit's presence reassures us that we are never alone. His power encourages us to live out our faith with confidence. His purpose reminds us that salvation is ultimately God's work, not ours. Just as the disciples had to wait for the Spirit before stepping into their mission, we too must rely on his presence rather than our own strength. The same Spirit that moved in the early church is still moving today. Oh, that should make you say amen. The same Spirit that moved in the early church is still moving today, equipping and empowering us to be faithful witnesses of Christ. Next week, we arrive at the turning point of this journey, Pentecost. The day when fire fell, the church was born, and the mission of Jesus truly began to spread to the ends of the earth. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed everything, and it still changes everything for us today. As we prepare our hearts for Pentecost Sunday, let's ask ourselves, are we truly open to the Spirit's work in our lives? Are we truly open to the Spirit's work in our lives? You know what? Let's take it one step further. One step further. Are you ready to step forward in boldness, trusting in his power? Are you? Are you ready to step forward in boldness, trusting in his powers? That's the question we should be asking ourselves today, tomorrow, and always. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.